Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go there.
With Shira and Ryan.
Oh my God. Entertainment.
Music. Pop culture.
LGBT plus news. Let's go there.
Start now.
Hey.
Happy Friday, everyone. This is Shira.
And I am Shalonda.
Nice to meet you, Shalonda. Hey, whatever floats your boat. We are Let's Go There. We catch you up on the news of the day every single day here on Channel Q, plus some more madness.
What's the madness? What?
I don't know. We're talking about being creepy today.
Shira. Okay, cool. That's amazing.
We're not talking about me. We're talking about being creepy.
No, I just said your name. I didn't allude to you being the one that was creepy.
We also talk about, relationships on the show. Mm-hmm. And, and we support each
Politics.
Other.
Politics. We talk about
I
some hard
news of the day.
Heavy, heavy hitting stuff. Don't make us just sound like a fluff piece.
No, we don't do fluff.
I'm fluffy, but don't make me sound like a fluff piece.
No, that is true. And by the way, we put this up as a podcast every single day, so you can catch up on all our episodes you might have missed throughout the week, maybe even during the weekend or after hours. We are channelq.com. Today is a good day. Mm-hmm. We actually had some interesting conversations before getting on air, and it all revolved around food and etiquette.
Yes.
Food etiquette. And I think when you work with people or you're in a relationship, you really get a sense of what someone's food etiquette is.
And you just have friends that have no manners.
All right, so this is the big debate. I will admit, I'm not on top of my manners.
Yes.
But
by saying not on top, she means she has
No, but
none.
You're so extreme with it. Ryan is like, you have no manners. That's ridiculous.
No, I'm not extreme with it. There's multiple people. It would be extreme if I was the only one that said it, but there are multiple people saying it. Shira is not.
What do you consider manners? All right, let's go through the manners
list. So manners is chewing with your mouth closed. Not bringing really smelly food into the same congregated area as other people.
And there's
no open windows.
Our studio space that we have no choice but to be in.
Not chewing with your mouth open, not talking with your mouth open, not slurping while you're drinking, not hearing every chew. There's a way of doing it, also by sitting at a dinner table, your elbows don't hit the table.
Yeah, I always thought that was always weird. I thought that my grandmother was always into rules and etiquette, stuff like that. And whenever she would do that to me, I would just get so annoyed.
See, you wouldn't make it 1 second at my mother's house or my family's house.
Not fair.
They would drag you and they would. Honestly, just because you're grown, that don't mean you can't get popped.
They would
smack your hand my grandmother plays no games.
You know what? You've been with me in different settings, but I would say I do it in safe spaces. If I get very excited about things or in the middle of work, I'm going to be throwing food down my mouth and talking and doing all that. And I'm not going to be
I've seen
all
you
pretty.
Do it at dinner meetings. I have. The way she eats hummus at a dinner meeting, honey.
That one time hummus?
It's like a tornado.
I was hungry.
It's like a tornado. Well, we have trending.
Veggies and dip?
Wait, next time we'll just video you and put it up.
Yes, we'll video you.
Wow.
We'll video it and we'll put
what
it up on We Are Channel Q. So you
what
should be following.
Is a threat?
You should be following to stay tuned for that because we're making it happen.
Wow, I feel really
supported. You
supported
should.
in this team. Okay, let's get into what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour. Now, in an op-ed for the Washington Post, the chair and vice chair of the Log Cabin Republicans, those are the Republicans that are
gay,
are actually endorsing President Donald Trump's 2020 campaign.
Of course they are.
Saying he meets their commitments or met his commitments to LGBTQ plus people. So they argue that Trump has helped remove LGBTQ rights as a divisive issue in the GOP, referencing the administration's policies on ending the spread of HIV/AIDS, as well as his push to get other countries to conform to modern human rights standards. So that was enough. The leaders also mentioned Trump's appointment of Richard Grenell, who is openly gay, who's also the U.S. ambassador to Germany. We've always talked about that one person that everyone mentions because he's gay that Trump appointed. That is enough for him to support an entire community.
Yeah. This is what they added. I forgot all about that guy. Actually.
Well, while we do not agree with every policy or platform position presented by the White House or the Republican Party, we share a commitment to individual responsibility, personal freedom, and strong national defense. This is a change, though. While you might think they've always supported Trump, they actually haven't. They refused to endorse him in 2016 because he was surrounding himself with advisors with, quote, a record of opposing LGBT equality, as well as his support of the First Amendment Defense Act, which would block the federal government from taking harmful action against people based on their beliefs about marriage. So has that shifted that much since 2016 that now it's worthwhile pushing and supporting him?
Here's the thing. These log cabin Republicans, like, they basically really said that they are voting, they are, you know, basically committing to voting for him because they're all about what he's doing. And also, I guess they're aligning on the same things, which is very sad because they're not aligning on human rights and equality and inclusion. They're aligning on things that are very selfish to them. And that's a lot of the things that I bring up every time we talk about, you know, cis white gay men and when how they only care about themselves in some sense. If it's not affecting them, then they don't care.
Well, let's move on to some more Trump news. Sorry. Happy Friday.
No, I mean, here's the thing. We're got to talk about
this. This is interesting, though. Trump mocked one of his supporters at a rally.
Yeah.
And you'll be surprised at how this guy reacted. Coming up next on What's Trending in the News.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
So Trump had a rally in New Hampshire yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And he basically mistook a supporter for someone disrupting the rally and went on to mock this guy for many things, including his physical appearance, saying he was seriously overweight.
That guy's got a serious weight problem. Go home, start exercising. Get him out of here, please.
So there must not be any mirrors in the White House because Trump doesn't look at himself clearly.
But it's like, why?
And that's not even
Is that okay?
He decided to fat shame someone that he thought was a protester, ended up being his own supporter.
I mean, come on.
Like, are you for real? Like, what Twilight Zone are we in?
And then why would you want to support someone after that, being like, wow, that's totally cool. What a nice stand-up leader.
Well, speaking of that, what did the guy have to say?
Yeah, so the guy, whose name is Frank Dawson, he actually spoke to Fox News' Griff Jenkins after the rally and explained that the president, well, this guy from Fox News said the president was definitely speaking about him during that moment. He said he was because he didn't see me rip the signs away from those three people sitting near us. This is what Dawson said. They were trying to cause a ruckus. And they jumped up and started yelling. I don't care what they were yelling. So he was basically amidst all these other protesters, right? And so he mistook this guy for one of them. He added, it wasn't going to happen besides me. I'm trying to listen to my president. I think he thought I was part of it, but I wasn't. I was the good part of it. Then after the Fox News person says, you know, Trump, he actually said this to you. And he said, are you okay with it? And this guy goes, everything is good. I love the guy. He is the best thing that ever happened to this country.
So can I talk to you about how crazy and scary this idolization of Donald Trump is? Like, his fan base literally idols him. It's kind of like he's a false god in some way. And the way that this guy was like, yeah, he can do anything.
He can berate me, belittle me.
He can do anything to me. And I'm just so happy that he even acknowledged my presence.
Yeah.
It's so scary. And then Trump sits there and wonders, you know, why he gets all this flack for having a fan base that trends, you know, lock them up or send them back and all these things when it's like they're following his lead. And then it's like Trump can do whatever he wants to do and they will still just love him.
They've been hypnotized by his wig.
It's very, very scary.
You're getting sleepy.
I mean, it's hypnotized by the paleness of his skin. That's what it is.
It's delusional. Machiavellian.
What is that word?
It's like a power to the extreme of takeover.
Wow, you really pulled that one out of thin air.
Look at
I don't know why. Like, is that word of the day?
Yes, Machiavellianism.
Word of the day.
It's a personality trait. They use, it's a person so focused on their own interests, they will manipulate, deceive, exploit others to achieve their goals. Machiavellianism.
Okay,
of the day.
I appreciate you throwing that vocabulary word out. I think you have a stunning.
Really proud of myself on that one. So meanwhile, The protesters at the rally were actually a group of young American Jews from the organization If This Now. They were holding these signs that read, Trump is hashtag bad for the Jews, Jews against white nationalism, Jews against occupation, and your hate is killing us, while chanting, Jews will not be used. Mm. Wow, the Jews are really going all out there.
I mean, no, here's the thing. We always expect protesters to be at, you know, these rallies because it's just a very scary situation. I was thinking last night when I was watching this clip, you know, if I was someone there at this rally and I was like a non-person of color, I was a white person, and I looked around and I saw a sea of white people, I would be like, wait, there's something wrong here. Like, we all look alike, and there's nothing that says very American about this. That if you're talking about, you know, it's supposed to be, a very melting pot of people. It's supposed to be a very diverse group of people. It's literally a sea of white people around. It's like when you start hanging out with the same people that have the same views as you and have the same kind of mindset, that's where things can go very, very wrong, because nothing ever changes. Nothing ever gets fixed.
Well, there you go. This definitely proved that is happening.
It's very scary. It's honestly very scary.
And that's what's trending in the news right now. We're moving on to top stories in pop culture and entertainment news. What's the tea?
Well, we're still kind of doing this pop culture where it intersects with politics.
Yeah.
Because coming up in 7 minutes, Cardi B and presidential candidate and Senator Bernie Sanders' long-awaited Q&A video has finally arrived. And Cardi might be asking all the questions we need to know. So stick around, because we'll be right back.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Oh, honey, the tea is hot, and we are ready to get into What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day. And this one is still very political. It's where pop culture meets the intersection of politics.
Got it.
And so Cardi B, obviously she is, you know who she is. I don't have to give you a freaking bio on her, but she's incredible. And she actually put out on her social media, she was like, guys, give me questions to ask, because I'm going to sit down, have a great conversation with one of the current presidential candidates, and I want to ask questions that you guys want to know. I want to use, you know, I want to uplift my followers to get involved in politics and really know kind of the 411 on all things, like what they should be learning from, you know, minimum wage to police brutality, immigration, health insurance. And it was finally revealed that it was Bernie Sanders who she sat down with, and that long-awaited video has finally come out. It's a 12-minute video of the odd couple. I mean, this is a very odd pairing.
It's so funny.
Where they sat down in Cardi B's favorite nail salon.
Like that, random. Like, is she an investor in that nail salon?
I have no idea. But you know, Cardi gave the excuse, being like, you know I love nails. And you could tell she probably had just got her nails done, and it was like, she looks great. But it's very interesting, because she started off, which I'm very excited that she did this, she started off asking Sanders about his call to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour, explaining that the issue was very, very personal for her. And I wanted to play this clip because here's what she had to say.
Like, what are we going to do about wages in America?
Good.
Like, for example, like me as a New Yorker, not now, but, you know, when I was not famous, I just felt like no matter how many jobs I get, I wasn't able to make ends meet. Like, I wasn't able to pay my rent, get transportation, and eat.
That is an excellent and important question. Because right now, we have tens of millions of people who are earning what I consider to be starvation wages. Can you imagine somebody today earning $9 an hour?
It don't make no sense.
No, it doesn't. How do you pay your rent? How do you pay for food? How do you pay for transportation?
Right.
You can't. And if you have a child,
yes. And my thing is that, you know, certain people like to brag that there is more jobs now in America. But it's like, yeah, there's an increase of jobs given. But what are they paying in these jobs? They're practically paying nothing.
You got it. That is exactly the issue.
You tell them, Cardi.
I mean, here's the thing. I know several people in my life and around friends of friends of friends of friends that are getting paid like nothing, like $9, $8, $5 if you're a server. Like, I know people that are struggling and living in, you know, cities like big cities like Los Angeles where the rent is high, you know? And so these are very interesting and great questions where I think Cardi B has figured out how to, one, use her own platform to really make sure that she is, one, she's shown that she's very politically politically driven. She wants to be involved in the
conversation. She's aware. She's aware of the topics and issues, and she's lived them.
Yeah, and she not only one thing. It's kind of like they even had a cute moment where they discussed their own kind of fondness of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who Cardi said she admired for his perseverance on social issues despite taking office in the midst of the Depression and a world war. She said, "It's just like, goddamn, I love him. He's my favorite."
I know you hate when I say this, but I'm impressed. And I know you think that.
Here's the thing. I think it's a great thing to be impressed. No,
because you have called me out in saying this, that like, oh, I'm surprised it's coming from Cardi.
Well, yeah, because I think that's like some underlying like low-key shade that you're not meaning, but I think society, especially the way they view her, they feel like she's not supposed to be smart. She's a stripper. She's not supposed to be getting involved in topics like this. She still is very kind of, you know, sexually driven.
The way she talks or speaks.
No, but that has nothing to do with it. I think that is just something that white people
but
have.
That's what I'm saying.
They have towards people of color, because guess what? What you do as a sex worker, from, you know, I mean, being a janitor to doing all this, has nothing to do with your book smarts. It has nothing to do.
Totally. She's proving that.
And my thing is, people before her have proved that. And I think that the reason why I feel like I hate it when people say, oh, I'm so impressed that she's taking on these issues, is because that's some underlying shade of saying, oh, I'm impressed that she's so smart, that she knows how to speak, you know, well enough and gets rid of the ghetto out of her so she can have these conversations.
Well, I think it's one of those things, don't judge a book by its cover. Listen, I came into a Lyft this week and the guy was surprised that my voice was so low.
How did that compare to this
conversation?
Meaning,
you see someone and you see, you expect them how they talk or what they represent to be a certain way.
He just didn't expect you to sound like Amy Winehouse or something. Like, that's different from what the conversation.
Okay, that
about
aside,
Cardi
yes,
B.
Maybe I
that was a very whitewashing thing to do. Either way, I get what you're saying. I think it's something,
but I acknowledge it.
Yeah,
and I think that we get to acknowledge it more. That's why we're having this conversation. And I hope she keeps on speaking out about these issues, because she's making it more accessible to a group of people that needs to be heard and seen.
Real quick, before we're out running out of time.
What?
We have one more clip that I want to play about student debt, because she most definitely asked the question really everybody wants to know. Like, how do we eliminate it? What's going on?
Bernie, do you think it's going to be possible to eliminate student debt? Because so many people are suffering these things, and it just, I feel like it discouraged the youth to go to school.
Cardi, you are 100% right. You got 45 million people in this country who have student debt. Can you believe that?
Yes.
45 million. You have young people, 25, 30, they were told, you got to go to college to go out and get a good job, right?
Yes.
So they went $50,000, $100,000 in debt. Number one, if you can get into college, if you have the ability, you should be able to get a college education regardless of your income. And we're going to make public colleges and universities tuition free.
If you want to continue to hear more of that conversation, obviously you can go on Bernie Sanders' YouTube page, because it is really great. And it's 12 minutes worth of things that we need to know. And honestly, kind of getting a huge moment from Cardi with and kind of a seal of approval from Cardi with Bernie, it probably helped him get some new voters. So you never know. But we got to move forward in What's the Tea, because Miley Cyrus just dropped a new song that's all about her ex, Liam Hemsworth. And apparently, Shira, there was a drug problem.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, girl. We're playing a clip coming up next in 7 minutes.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
All right, so we're back with What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day. And like you heard in that cute little tease before this last song, which was what? What was the name of that song, producer Vanessa? Because it was good.
Summer Days.
Summer Days.
By Martin Garrix.
Yeah,
actually, he did an awesome interview with DJ Alex D on our site at WeAreChannelQ.com that I just decided to give her some cute little promo for. You're welcome.
Yes.
But now back to our stories. Miley Cyrus, of course, you know there's been a lot of drama involving her and her ex-husband, Liam Hemsworth, and how they're no longer together after, you know, barely hitting a year. And, you know, everyone was wondering, what's going on? What's happening? What really went wrong? Well, she just released a new song called Slide Away.
That was quick.
On the heels of her breakup. And, yeah, this emotional track really talks about the crumbling of their relationship and deciding that it's time to move on to something new. Here's a clip.
Once upon a time, it was paradise.
Wait, Shira, hold your horses. So the lyrics that we just heard, I want my house in the hills, don't want the whiskey and pills, I don't give up easily, but I don't think I'm down.
Dude, she's calling him out for doing a lot of pills and drinking.
Yes, come on, comprehension skills. Yes, ma'am. So everyone is freaking out because also the artwork for the single shows bottles of alcohol and pills floating in a pool. And so People Magazine, of course, is reporting that Cyrus tried to curb Hemsworth's partying and say that he would lash out at her. So she's kind of revealing that he has a kind of an alcohol and pill issue.
Well, it seems like it's interesting because she was always the partier, but I feel like she's chilled out and she's kind of hippy-dippy. I think she's sober now, just smokes some weed.
Yeah, I think honestly, I mean, we don't know because we're not there, but I think that is true. And the interesting thing is, though, I wonder, and a lot of other people are kind of wondering, was she in the wrong for kind of using this song to kind of out him and his substance abuse issues?
I think so soon, like if maybe it'd come out. But, like, it's a bit too soon. You know when they say too soon? Yeah, this is a bit too soon. And it is. I feel like we call people out for outing people in certain ways, obviously.
Right.
And I think we need to think about outing people not just in terms of sexuality, but in other ways that are very personal.
But here's the thing. I think that's also how we could be interpreting the lyrics, because she could be talking about herself. She could just be talking about them together as a couple. Like, maybe they had a very toxic relationship where she was drinking and
still,
he was using pills.
She's outing their
but
relationship.
It's her experience.
But yeah, and
it's
she's a musician, and he knows what he got himself into. But it reminds me, when they broke up that first time, she had the wrecking ball song. Remember that?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Date huge pop stars and heartbreak comes, that's when you know the music is going to be fire. That is one of those moments where they're going to put all their energy and all their heartbreak into some songs, and that's when we really get the real tea. Well, sources are telling Page Six that Liam, has been completely distraught over the coverage of their split. Like, they say Liam is one of the kindest, gentlest people out there. Him being wild or drunk or deadbeat is absolutely ridiculous.
Oh.
So honestly, who is telling the truth at this point?
I don't know.
Liam's not accepting it. Miley is saying this. I don't know. It just feels like this whole split is getting
It got out of hand very quickly.
It's getting a little intense. But I will say this on the, you know how they were saying that obviously Miley was on that vacation with Caitlyn, who was Brody Jenner's ex. Brody Jenner actually put out a statement saying this. He said, "There's far too much negativity being directed at someone who I love and care about very much. I feel the need to set the story straight. Caitlyn and I have been best friends for 6 years, and we continue to be. I respect Caitlyn and care deeply about her. She deserves to be able to move forward in her life with respect and happiness." So clearly one couple has this crap together, and it's Brody and Caitlyn. So I don't know what's going to happen from here on. I hope Miley and Liam can just go their separate ways and have a beautiful life. But if you want to know more about this story, head over to WeAreChannelQ.com for all of your entertainment pop culture tea, and make sure to keep us favorited on that radio.com app.
Well, this known sports journalist came out as transgender today.
Oh,
that's
exciting.
Coming up, on What's Trending in the News, top of the hour, right here on Let's Go There.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
It's time for what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour. Now, Maryland is planning to roll out lessons on the movement for LGBTQ plus equality in its history curriculum for K-12 classrooms. The changes are made because of 47 state lawmakers who wrote a letter claiming the state's current guidelines do not address in any way the development of civil rights for LGBTQ plus Americans. They added this: these are important stories for our teachers to tell, not only for those students who are themselves LGBTQ plus, but so all of our students have a basic understanding of the challenges faced by significant segments of American society. Now, the new standards will also include lessons on the centuries-long struggle of people with disabilities, too, for rights and inclusion in U.S. society. When the new policies are implemented, Maryland will become the fifth state to mandate the inclusion of LGBTQ plus history in schools. Others include California, New Jersey, and Colorado. And the final state on that growing list is Illinois, where newly elected Governor J.B. Pritzker signed an LGBTQ plus curriculum law into effect just this week.
Now, can I say, when we first talked about the Illinois ruling and all the, you know, LGBTQ history coming into classrooms, I saw so much homophobia online. And I think when there's some cis hetero people that feel like, oh, LGBTQ history is nothing but sexualized history, and they feel like they're going to be taught things about like gay sex and very things that are like, we have no history. It's like, oh, all they're going to be talking about is like, you know, doing things and, you know, weird sexual things.
Do
and
they
like,
do that for when you're talking about like
exactly
people that just are in history in general?
But it really shows that people do not understand that we have historical people that are part of our LGBTQ history that people should be learning about. Even
it's not just
if they,
about sex, it's about thing, activism.
But my thing is, even if it was just about sex, there are LGBTQ youth that need to know how to practice safe sex, because all you're being taught in health classes are about the hetero experience, and that helps us nothing. But I think the idea that I'm bringing up and the point is, a lot of people feel like LGBTQ history is nothing but sexualized history, and that is a problem. That is a narrative that we have been continually trying to break, that LGBTQ people should not be sexualized. We are a whole entire community that live normal lives. We are just like you, but better, with a little bit of sparkle and better taste. And you know, there's history that deserves to be taught in these schools.
Now, I totally agree. I'm on the same page with you. Now, someone who's definitely going to be in the history books is
me.
In our next story besides you. Sports journalist Nikki Bandini, who came out as transgender, and she's receiving an outpouring of love and support. She wrote in The Guardian, "There it is, though, in black and white. I've written my last article under the name Paolo Bandini. From now on, it will be Nikki." So Bandini covers European football and the NFL for The Guardian, and coming out at work has required something more like a leap of faith, because as you can imagine, a sports journalism is not always a welcoming place for people who are not straight men. And same goes for the sports world with, you know, audiences and media attention who are all kind of, you know, similar around certain similar communities.
Yeah.
She opened up about her transition in actually a coming out video and an article on the Guardian website.
Okay, so I guess this is a coming out video. My name is Nikki Bandini. You may have known me previously as Paolo Bandini, because that is the name that I have worked under for the past 13 years as a journalist. I am transgender. I came out in my private life about that a little while ago, but now I guess I'm coming out in my public life, if you want to call it that, as a journalist as well. But otherwise, I guess the thing that you need to know is that nothing much changes in terms of my work. I am still going to be covering Italian football, European football, and hopefully a bit of NFL this season, as I have in the past.
There you go.
I mean,
Nikki
shout
Bandini.
Out to her. I think this is a beautiful moment in sports history that should be completely celebrated. This is amazing.
Now, someone has also come out, another person, Ed Smart. You know, he's the father of Elizabeth Smart.
Who is Elizabeth Smart? Is that a name that's supposed to know?
Yeah, she was kidnapped from Salt Lake City at her home at age 14. Very famous, big story.
Wow.
Yeah, so they've been in the news a lot, and he was a huge advocate for her as they were trying to find her in the media and everything. Well, her father, Elizabeth Smart's father, said he's finally acknowledging a part of me that I have struggled with most of my life and never wanted to accept. He sent that letter to loved ones on Thursday on Facebook Messenger, and then NBC News picked it up. He said, I recently acknowledged to myself and my family that I am gay. The decision to be honest and truthful about my orientation comes with its own set of challenges, but at the same time, it's a huge relief. Now, again, Elizabeth Smart was captive for 9 months. It made tons of headlines, and she was, and he was
back in 2002.
Yeah,
I pulled it up.
Yeah, a while back. How old were you again? Yeah, you're young.
No, let's not talk about my age. Okay. I don't want to make anyone feel bad.
So, in the letter, Ed, who's 64, also said he's leaving his wife and said he was sorry for the excruciating pain that he'd put her through. He also said he's leaving the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Mormons.
Yeah, because as an openly gay man, the church is not a place where I find solace any longer. Yeah, so, you know, it was a big story, obviously, because of the kidnapping. Also, she was Mormon, and she said that her faith allowed her to push through, and it was part of her survival. So you could see how there was that probably conflict and friction there. So there you go, another coming out, and wishing them all the best of luck, everyone who is just living their best life right now.
I mean, yeah, some good coming out moments.
Yeah.
But that last one's a little complicated for her because obviously he has to, that's the realness actually about coming out. It's not as always sweet and simple. It's always, you know, there's people involved, there's family members involved. It's a thing that can be very complicated and very, you know, kind of gritty in some ways. It's not the most simple, like, oh, I'm coming out and I'm now living my truth. It's a lot more difficult than that. And a lot of times, and we sometimes don't really highlight stories like that where we really show the trueness.
And I think we're seeing another generation coming out with so many people that were closeted and lived a life that wasn't theirs for a long time right now. Well, there you go. That was Let's Go There, What's Trending in the News. Now, coming up, researchers have identified what makes a person creepy. I love this story. The findings after this in 10 minutes.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
So what makes a person creepy? What purpose do our creep detectors actually serve? So researchers have identified.
You just showed why you're creepy.
Okay, some things, and we're going to get more into it, but this little tease, unpredictable laughter. No idea what that is.
You just did it. You just did it.
That is not unpredictable. I throw it out there normally, consistently. Pale skin, unkempt hair. Oh my God, this is me. People tend to find unsettling in people. And also, the researchers found out that we're pretty poor judges of who we should trust, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So what is this creepiness that we talk of? Okay. They said that being creeped out is the result of an inbuilt threat detector, a detector that lets us know something is off by giving us feelings of confusion, unpleasantness, or just the chills. Now, do you know any? No, I might be like creepy, like more eccentric.
I didn't even say anything.
You're looking at me weird.
Because you're talking.
I might make
you
wait.
The floor.
I might make you confused sometimes, but do I give you the chills?
Yeah, if
like
I'm
the
like.
Heebie-jeebies?
Yes, you have given me the heebie-jeebies multiple times. Like when you start like getting into your seance moments, like when you're like burning sage and stuff. When I first met you, you did that. I was like, wow, she is a witch doctor and I need to plead the blood of Jesus all over. Because I'm a southern boy and I thought
but
she was a witch.
But yet you were intrigued.
But then I was intrigued because, you know, what they say, like the devil's mind is like an idol workshop. Like an idol mind is a devil's workshop. Something like that. It's like a southern term. It's like very crazy. But I will say, creepy people, for me, especially being like people see a perspective, like I've learned, like when I kind of gathered my own following on social media, meeting people that know me on social media, it can be a little creepy at times. Like fans and stuff, like it can be like, oh my God, I love when you did this and I love when you do that. And then they're expecting something and they're kind of all over you. And then it's like you want to obviously be nice and you want to talk to them and like you want to be cool. But also you just want to have a normal conversation and be like, yo, trust me, I'm just like you. I sit on my couch and I do nothing.
Yeah, but you know because you're a fan and you do kind of same thing
on
the other side.
But
you're
I'm
like,
a
I've
fan
been following
of their
you forever. Oh my God. But yeah, you might be like, oh, when you wore that outfit, blah.
Well, I don't bring out outfits because that could be a little creepy, but I think when
it's, you think it,
when you have like work, like when you're a fan of someone's work, then that's cool, like you're talking about the collective. But then you have to know, especially what we do, you have to know like, okay, you still got to have conversation with them like they're normal people.
Well, this study found that the participants said that men were more likely to be creepy than women. So sorry, guys.
Well, duh, we knew that, right? Yeah. And that, let's be specific. I feel like it has to be, like, hetero guys. Because I feel like there's a ton of guys. Like, weren't you just, I don't know if I should say this on, like, because I don't know if you want to blast that, sure. But
what,
I just
okay,
feel like
I don't even know
there.
What to expect what you're saying right now.
Wasn't there a guy that was asking for pictures of your feet?
Oh, yeah. I'm not like embarrassed. No, I'm no shame.
Okay, good. But I'm just saying, like, that's I mean, that's a kink shame.
I give him credit. One, I was willing to give him my fee for $1,000. He didn't have enough money. So that is not my problem.
I was willing to give him my feet. Pictures of your feet, not like give him your feet.
I was going to do pictures.
Yeah.
I'm at, like, hey, got to have a side hustle.
And it's not like, it's not to kink shame or anything, but I mean, just to be like, that is a little weird because then he started like, there was like a website or a social media site.
Oh, yeah, there's Wiki Feet. I'm on
that.
Yeah,
she's on Wiki Feet. It's like,
and there is a foot, there's an Instagram that's a foot Instagram that also loves my feet and that will comment whenever I talk about my feet.
I've seen your feet and they're just, I mean, it's
yeah,
not like
people make
bad.
Fun of my feet,
yeah.
And they actually said my feet are nicer. And there are people that are big feet foot supporters.
I love that.
Foot lives matter. Okay, coming up, we're going to talk about the characteristics of a creepy person, and could that be you next?
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
So what makes someone creepy? Researchers did the work and released their reports. And here they are. These are the characteristics of a creepy person. Now, you might say to yourself, wow, I know this person. I have a heads up if I meet this person. Or you might say, wow, this person might be me. Okay. So here it is. The person stood too close to your friend.
Oh.
Characteristic. Or you. I stand too close.
You?
Okay. All right.
My
here
goodness.
It goes.
Wow. I have never heard a realer, truer statement in life. Like, Shira will, like, run up on you like she's a Demigorgon in Netflix of Stranger Things. Like, she'll be there 1 second and be disappearing in the next moment. She's, like, very handsy and, like, will get up in your space.
All right.
But I love it. That's who you are. You're a very loving person.
That's what they call it.
Did I save it?
Person has greasy hair. The person has a peculiar smile.
Okay.
A weird smile. Bulging eyes. That could be creepy.
No, that's a little weird because that could also be an eye condition.
I know, but it can... Yeah.
And Tracee Ellis Ross has like those kind of eyes and she's not creepy.
I know,
beautiful.
Of course.
I mean, I'm not saying you're making these up. I'm just...
The person has long fingers. I actually have long fingers. I used to make a joke. I used to do the E.T. phone home.
Oh, see,
thing
that
with
was
the finger.
Very slender man.
Yeah. The person has unkempt hair, has very pale skin. Basically, it feels like it's someone that's like that would be in one of those like movies, like vampire movies or something, like working at the
cemetery.
No,
vampires are hot.
No, but one
Every
of those creepy ghosts
hot.
Or one of those creepy people. Like this all reminds me, you know, the old guy in Home Alone that would like plow the snow and Kevin was really scared of, but then he ended
did
up being
he
a really nice
yeah,
old man. He ends up being a nice old man, but he originally seemed creepy because of these characteristics.
Oh, okay. All right.
The person has bags under their eyes, dressed oddly. Are you laughing like I'm that person because I have bags?
No! I'm not
I
laughing
work
at anything.
Hard.
Yes, I, no. And I don't I don't think you're
they're
creepy.
Dressed oddly. They lick their lips frequently. I look
You're the one that's literally
I'm
going
like,
through this checklist seeing
they
if
wear
it's
dirty
you.
Clothes. No.
Well.
Sometimes.
Yeah. That's sometimes what you just, that's everybody though. When you just don't want to do laundry and it's laundry day, you just pick out like something that's the least dirtiest out of the dirty pile.
No, I just have so much random clothes. I go into the point where I'm like taking random stuff. Like, you know, I'm a bit of a hoarder where we're dealing with that.
Okay, I have a question. Okay. Let's talk about creepy when dating. What are some things, like if you are dating a creepster, like if it's like a first date and you're like, oh, this guy's kind of creepy. What are some of those signs?
Well, I think being too touchy feely in like the wrong moment. Like there's that fine balance between doing it in the way that you like.
Yeah.
And you remember you actually went to a bar once recently and you said there was a guy that was really into you and kept being very touchy feely but to
Yeah, no, no.
To the point I was like, am I bringing something up that's bad? But then to the point where it was kind of like it went into the creep zone.
Well, yeah, because I've had that happen a couple times. Like, I remember I was at the Abbey one time, and there was this guy that was literally under the influence so much, he had to get escorted out of the Abbey. But I feel like that's a normal thing for some, like, people at the Abbey where they get, like, very, like, there's this one, that's that one person that gets just out of pocket, and they're always touching. Like, this guy was, like, touching on me. The police had to escort him out. Sitting out, like, on the patio. He still was trying to, like, saying just gross things. It happens.
Or someone that's, like, trying.
It makes me feel sexy.
Yeah, there's the balance. Someone that tries too hard, like, is really trying so hard, yeah, or being, like, over the top really quickly, you're like, yes, oh, that's kind of creepy. That's a red flag. It's, yeah, creepy and red flags go, yeah, together. Wow. Or, and I love, by the way, and I'm practicing this more myself, staring people in the eye.
Oh, I hate that.
But, yeah, because it's uncomfortable. It's vulnerable. But there's that fine line between the stare that feels comfortable and the stare that feels like you're gonna murder me and take my soul.
No, you know? For sure.
Wait,
yeah.
So these are jobs. Let's go back to this study, because there's actually jobs that set off people's creepiness factor. This was really funny, I found. The creepiest professions are clown, taxidermist, sex shop owner, funeral director.
I know some great sex shop owners. They're not creepy. Don't book them. Don't put them all together.
Guess what the least creepy profession is?
What? Clown?
No, clown is the creepiest. Oh, the least creepy.
Oh, the least creepy? What we do?
A meteorologist. So, a report. The weather guy.
Yeah, the weather guy. Oh, no, or the weather woman. I'm sorry. Weather person.
The weather person.
Yes.
But weather guys or science guys can creep me out sometimes.
Bill Nye is sexy. He ain't creepy.
There's been points that he's been a bit creepy.
Wow, how dare you?
I'm sorry.
Maybe you're getting confused with, like, Pee Wee Herman or something. I don't know.
Pee Wee Herman. So basically, I think overall the findings saw that also the sexual interest. So just watch out for the creeps out there and trust your guts.
Yeah.
Give people a chance, but trust your guts.
Also, come up with safe words with your friends. Like, if you're going on a first date and they need to get you out of there because the guy's creepy, come up with a safe word. My safe word with my friends is crayon.
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't we have a safe word? It makes me feel like I'm not in your friend group.
Well,
you
there you
never
go.
Told me to
there
add a safe word.
There you have it.
Okay. Well, we're getting into our next story right here on Let's Go There. A company that's being called out, the latest one, for being on the Trump support train.
Yeah, girl.
Which makes us feel like, can we even trust any business
or
now?
Shop anywhere? We can't do that. I don't even know where to go.
Because, you know, last week it was Equinox.
Right.
And now.
And SoulCycle.
Yeah, they're owned by the same company.
Yeah.
And now it's CVS. CVS is being called out. The hashtag boycott CVS was trending all day yesterday because of news that the company plans to cut reimbursements for women who receive birth control through the mail.
Can you imagine being a listener right now and you're actually in CVS and you're like in the aisle and you're listening to us and we're like, skirt, and I oop. I got a moment where it's like, oh, wow, I'm here right now shopping, and this place that I'm in is basically a Trump establishment.
Well, yeah. They're doing this stuff that is not pro-choice, right? And making it harder for women to get their birth control, right?
Oh, yeah.
But then, let's add the next part of this, is that they supposedly, according to the Wall Street Journal in February 2018, the Federal Election Commission website shows they gave $35,000 to the Trump Victory Pack. Now, I want to get into this after the break, because I feel like they also gave to the Democrats. So do they really deserve to be called out for something like this?
Well, they also were one of the largest donors to help the presidential re-election campaign.
Let's get into that after this.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
CVS is the latest company to come under fire for donating money to Trump's campaign. So according to this website, the Federal Election Commission website, they donated $35,000 to the Trump Victory Pack. By the way, and I kind of knew this, but I didn't, so I want to remind people, federal law does not allow corporations, labor unions to donate money directly to candidates or national party committees, and that's why, obviously, these super PACs are so important. But also according...
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. But also according to FEC.gov, CVS also gave some money to Democratic groups as well. So should we really be hating if they gave money to both sides?
Yeah, we should. I think because they're doing that, it's like sitting in the middle of a fence, like on the, you're playing both sides. So it's like, you hate a person that plays both sides where they're on one, either they got it, you got to choose. You either got to choose if you're a part of the Democratic Party or you got to choose a part, like who has your
views? Well,
maybe
because they knew that they're a huge company, there's going to be people on both sides. So you might as well support both sides.
That's not how it works.
Be unbiased.
How can you even think that way, especially with what Trump has rolled out, what he has done in his
time
as
president? But at that point, they didn't know.
No, but they knew he was a like he was showing his,
he was a creep.
He was a creep and he was every other cuss word in the book. They saw what he was doing on the campaign, and then they're even funding his reelection campaign. So my thing is, they know what they're doing.
About like $35,000. They're like a huge company. It's not like they donated millions.
It doesn't matter. It's still something. You could have donated a penny and a peppermint. It's still a problem.
Donated toothpaste.
My thing is, that's all I'm saying. I don't think it's okay. I think these companies, especially when you think about it, and I feel like what everyone is calling, you know, companies like Equinox and SoulCycle out for is because you need to pick a side, stand firmly, stop just taking money, doing money, and like putting money in the wrong places. Because guess what? That $35,000 is an extra, you know, route on, you know, Trump's reelection campaign for him to stop at another city and be able to afford things. So that's an issue. That is a problem when he's going to be using that money to fuel a hate train.
I mean, listen, in the end, there will always be people in different places that will not always be Democrat, right? So, like, at what point...
They don't always have to be Democrat. I think they just need to be humans.
I know, totally. But, I mean, if we were really going to break down every major corporation that we are part of, there will be at least one person that is supporting Trump.
I mean, aren't you all about clean living? Let's start growing our own stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We become our own store.
Let's become our own pharmacy.
I mean, the pharmaceutical industry is already trash.
Are you
going
to make
anyway.
The tampons? You're going to make the tampons?
I mean... I think I could do it.
But like, no, I mean, listen, I am all about living in a society where we hold big corporations that are making tons of money responsible and accountable. I think it's a long time coming. And I think they've tried to escape it for a lot of years. And now the reckoning is here. And so I'm okay with that. I just think that, you know, in the end, we can't be surprised. But people need to be called out, and they shouldn't be surprised on the corporation's end. And I'm just interested
to
see.
They should be surprised on the corporation's end.
I'm interested to see how corporations react to this, and how do they clean up shop? Do they let investors or people know, like, hey, this is happening? I mean, if I was at the top of these corporations, I would go, whoa, this is a big deal. People might be called out, and it's going to impact their public companies, the stock market.
Stop working with trash people that are not benefiting what we're trying to do and change the world in a better place. If you're going to fuel Trump's train, and the world is going to go to crap.
So other companies that have been called out also for donating money, Versace, Estee Lauder, Revlon, Taco Bell, Wendy's, Marvel Entertainment. Did you know that Marvel chairman and former CEO Isaac Perlmutter is a longtime friend of Trump?
Yeah, Army Hammer said something because he's mad that he's never gotten play. He never played a whatchamaface role. A Marvel role. So he like tweeted something about it. He was like, if you're going to be mad at Equinox, then you should be mad at Marvel.
Oh, he called them out?
He called them out on it,
well,
yeah.
Well, this guy, the CEO, donated almost $6 million to
his
Trump's
mom,
campaigns.
Plot twist?
What?
About that? People ended up finding out that Armie Hammer's mom actually supports Trump and has pictures with MAGA hats and everything.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like the pot calling the kettle
exactly.
black.
Exactly. I mean, there's going to be at least one person.
Wait, we have a caller on the line. I don't know who it is, but thanks for calling. Let's go there. What's your thoughts on our tops?
Hi, it's Keith. Listen, I'm no fan of Trump, but give me a break, guys. If you're going to go after every single company, especially if they've given to both parties, ain't know where you're going to go shop.
So, yeah, that's exactly. What? I mean, I'm not into it, but I mean, I agree.
I don't. I'm sorry. We're just not shopping.
This is there is a point where it gets to be just too much.
Well, thanks, Keith, for giving us your thoughts. But yeah. I really do feel like companies still owe everyone a responsibility in putting their money into the right places.
Or it's time for new companies to pop up. Hey, next generation. Hey, people that want to be entrepreneurs, that want to build big companies. It's your shot. You could do it from scratch and do it the right way this time.
So what are we supposed to have? Just stores that only Democrats shop at and stores that only Republicans shop at? Listen, this is the United States of America. We're all different. We vote differently, but that's okay. We're supposed to be united on some level. I mean, I just, that's where I think it gets a little nutty. And trust me, I don't like Trump. But right. I think it's getting to be a little nutty when you look at it and break it down like that.
Well, we love your perspective. Yeah, thank you so much for calling.
We appreciate it. Keep listening.
Love you guys.
Love you more.
Love you. Interesting take.
I mean, he was very passionate. Yeah. I don't agree, though. Well, we got to figure something out.
Listen, we can keep this conversation going. We've also got what's trending in the news, top of the hour coming up, what the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team is doing to get fair pay. A lot of people are fighting right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, some headlines right now. News top of the hour right here on Let's Go There. So the World Cup winning U.S. Women's National Soccer Team is still fighting for equal pay. You know, they're becoming the hottest ticket of the summer. You even went to one of their games, right?
Oh my God, yes. They played Ireland here at the Rose Bowl because it's a part of their victory tour, and it was just amazing to be breathing the same air as Megan.
Well, supposedly the negotiations are breaking down. It's not working out well.
Oh, no.
Here's what Megan Rapinoe had to say on Good Morning America.
We won't accept anything less than equal pay. What has been the response you've received from your fans? I think our fans are very supportive. I think people in general are very supportive. You know, in 2019, I don't think equal pay necessarily is a novel idea. I think people, you know, see how successful we've been, and I think that they think we should be compensated for that.
So the women actually make approximately $30,000 less annually than the U.S. men's soccer players.
And that was one of the moments, it actually gave me chills being at the game. The crowd literally towards the end of the game started, everyone in the stadium started cheering equal pay. And it was a moment where everyone came together because these women put on an amazing entertainment value. They're talented. There's everything so, I mean, incredible about this team and the fact that they get more press, they get more seats. It's all these things that play into it, and the only reason why they're not getting paid equal pay is because they're women.
Yeah.
And it's and they've won more championships.
It seems to be like something that's just been around forever.
It's ridiculous. It's honestly ridiculous.
Now, Janet Mock, you know, the director, writer of Pose.
Of course.
Is in a relationship with one of the stars.
Yeah, we already knew this. This is not old news. If you paid attention closely,
well,
this is the first time they're going public about
Angel B. Curiel, the actor who plays Little Poppy on Pose, is with Janet Mock.
Yeah, that's exciting. I'm telling you. Go check out their Instagrams to find it more at Janet Mock.
Goals, hashtag couple goals. Okay, that's what's trending in the news, top of the hour on Let's Go There. Coming up, this guy is mad at his girlfriend for not shaving her armpits. Is he wrong and just rude, or does he have a point? Coming up after this.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Well, that does it for today's show, and we want to thank all the creepy people who answered our question on social media if they're into body hair on their partner.
And that's what you call a callback to what we talked about earlier.
We don't even see you to find the creeps.
No, yeah, we got some interesting responses that are not radio appropriate. So, yeah, you know, it's been a good show.
Listen, if you missed any of the show or any of our other shows this week, don't you worry because we put them up as podcasts. All you have to do is go to wearechannelq.com and find the podcast section to listen.
Radio.com as well.
Okay, well, we will be back on Monday. We're going to be getting into Weight Watchers, who's being called out for a new diet app for kids. I mean, who's told them they should do
this? I mean, I'm telling you, people are losing their minds.
Plus, find out why checking the internet when you're sick might be better than going to the doctor, although I feel like it makes you more neurotic.
Okay, it does, and I really feel like it's true, but also, who knows? This article is trying to prove us wrong.
Fascinating. All right, that's on Monday's show. Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Channel Q. We are sending you love and light.
And make sure to follow us on social media.
At Shira Lazar.
And at The Slay Guy.
Have a great weekend, and now stay tuned for some great music right here on Channel Q. DJ Lisa Pittman and DJ Alex D.
And remember to slay.